Good evening. My name is Robert Stansberry. I am the president of the, or president-elect, whatever, of the commission, the Cultural Commission for Carson City. I'd like to call this meeting to order. This time I would like to ask for the roll call, see if we have a quorum.
Chairperson Stansberry.
Present.
Vice Chair Bugley.
Present.
Commissioner Abaud.
Here.
Commissioner Barton.
Here.
Commissioner Cook.
Here.
Commissioner McBride.
Here.
Commissioner Dahmy. A quorum's present.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to see an audience tonight. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to move now to public comments. And in this section, members of the public who wish to address the Cultural Commission may come forward and speak on matters related to the commission. Comments may be limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion or action, please request the chairperson to schedule the matter for a future meeting. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item option, which action may be taken. I believe that we have some people tonight that have come to talk. So we're going to start. Is this Sharon that I have in front of me? Very good. Introduce yourself, please.
Sharon Ross, Capital City Arts Initiative. And I have some handouts. Thank you. Some of you have already seen these. These are our two current flyers for our current exhibitions. One at the Brick, a group show that will be up through Labor Day, and Silk and Sinew, which is our current exhibition at the Courthouse Gallery. And we're also giving you a copy of the essay that we commissioned about the work at the courthouse. We thought you'd enjoy it. It's a beautiful exhibition and an equally well-done essay. So I hope you enjoy that. I'd like you to invite you all to save Friday, February 6th. That's our next exhibition reception at the courthouse. It's photography by Nolan Priest from Reno, and it's called The Driest State, Nevada Watersheds. So I think you're going to find it really interesting. The opening will be from 5 to 7 at the courthouse. And the other thing I have to tell you is the Arts Initiative just learned that we were awarded a National Endowment for the Arts grant for a Challenge America grant for our exhibition next fall by Katie Lewis, but we're over the moon excited about that grant. So it's a $10,000 all or nothing grant. Are there any questions?
Sharon, this these pamphlets and letter here is just gorgeously presented. I really enjoy it. And teaching human anatomy for 20 years, I love this human body turned sideways and colored differently. So just top flight stuff, really.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
Really
Mike.
Appreciate
Hope
it.
You get a chance to go over and see the exhibition.
Yes, it's lovely.
I think I have most of you on our mailing list. I don't think I have Terry McBride on. But I'd love to get your addresses that's best for you if you can give it to me afterwards. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you so
Sharon,
much.
Sharon, I'd just like to say the exhibit is fabulous. I did see it.
Oh, good. Thank
and
you.
And loved it.
Thank you very much.
We heard there might be a lady named Linda here tonight. Is she with us? This would be a time, dear, when you could come up and present to the to our group, public comment time. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Linda Belgray, and thank you for the opportunity to come before the coalition here and share with you another save the date for the second annual International Film Weekend in Carson. Last year, basically in a church basement, not really a basement, but held in a church, and I know some of you were there. And I've had many positive comments, as were the comments on the surveys that we gave people last year, and about a little over 300 people attended that. This year, the film weekend is scheduled for here in the community center, February 5th, 6th, and 7th. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we have this beautiful facility and projection system thanks to the Community Center, WNC, and Carson City Library joining together as partners in presenting the film festival this year. So our city is cooperating to bring something very, very special and unique to our town. This year we have added one element that's different from last year. That is, we put together an online solicitation invitation for student-made and independent films. So we have not received a lot of those, but we have a few, and those will be shown at WNC on Thursday and Friday, the 5th and 6th, at 3:30 in the afternoon. So those 3 days will be film full for anyone who wishes to partake, and we hope that you can. And I have a very preliminary and not our final publicity sheet for all of you tonight that lists the three films for this year. A New Zealand film called Boy. Thank you very much. A coming-of-age story in a Maori village, very tender and heartbreaking, about the boy. That will be paired with the library's Community Reads community-wide program in April with a book called The Motel Life, written by Willie Lawton. And it's about two boys who live in a motel in Reno. The second film on Friday night is called Himalaya, filmed in Nepal. It's a French and Nepalese collaborative film about ancient and modern values colliding. Wonderful film. The third film takes place in the Basque country in Spain. It is Spanish-speaking with subtitles. Himalaya and Obaba are subtitled in English. Obaba in Basque means village. So this last film on Saturday night regards the secret lives and mysteries that small towns hold for years, and it's very convoluted, and at the end all the threads are brought together. So with those three international films, we hope to continue our mission, if you will, of celebrating diversity through film and bringing people together to discuss that. So we have applied for two grants, haven't heard about either one of them yet, but we may be getting some grant money to help us along with buying the licenses to show the films and paying for publicity, banner over the main street, et cetera. We have a few items of publicity that we need money for. So here is the, hopefully you have your copy by now. And we hope to see all of you there. Come and enjoy some films in the capital city. And, of course, we hope our friends and neighbors from surrounding towns will join us for those three evenings. Thank you very much for your time.
How appropriate, Mrs. Belgrave, for your presentation tonight. Thank you so much. It was funny. I had a lunch today with some Salvation Army people who – And their sheltering job is to put people in motels that are homeless. And also I ate lunch with a former owner of the Nugget and Sparks. And he is also Basque. We have a big Basque community, and we have things going on that this would certainly relate to. So thank you again, Mrs. Belgrave, for your presentation. And is there anybody else at this time or any other comments from the board? And is there anybody else that would like to come up at this time during public comments? If not, I will move on to the next item of business, would be the approval of minutes. So at this time, I'd like to call for the approval of the minutes as written. I need a second for that.
I move to approve the minutes of September 11th, 2014 as published.
Any comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
I second.
Oh, who is the second we have? Sorry. Eleanor is the second. And I think I heard votes. Anybody opposed? Any abstentions? And those are so approved. Thank you very much. Now, modifications to the agenda. Agenda and management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The public body may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and the public body may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Items shall scheduled at a specific time cannot be heard earlier than the scheduled time per open meeting law requirements. Okay, so meeting items, moving to number three, if you have our agenda, 3A, presentation and discussion of the Fullstone Wetlands Mural Project by Ms. Erica Gallegos. And are you going to kick it off, Vern? Very good.
Yep,
thank
yes,
you.
I will go ahead and kick this off. To my left is Erica Gallegos. She is a senior, an AP art student, actually, at Carson High School. And she, being very bold as she is, approached our department and said, I want to do a senior project and I want to do a mural for you guys. So we said, well, come on down. So we were really excited about this. Just so the commission knows, every senior and, you know, Chairman, I know you'd know this. Every senior at the high school is required to successfully complete a senior project in order to graduate from high school. This opportunity with Erica presented staff with a wonderful opportunity to support her in her educational goals, increase art and cultural awareness in the community, address an unattractive and graffiti-prone neighborhood entrance into the Fullstone Wetlands, and create an amazing public-private partnership with the adjacent property owners who are here this evening to support Erica.
I was really fortunate to be shown on a map where this is, so could you describe the location, please?
And Erica will do that as a part of her
presentation. Okay, all right.
We were at the Open Space Advisory Committee last night. They were very warm and receptive to Erica and this project, so they've had a chance. Since this is open space property, and this will be adjacent to open space property, we took it there, and we're bringing it here this evening as well for the commission to review. This particular mural that she will be presenting, the theme of it is called A Day at the Wetlands Edge, is, if you will, kind of the essence of the project. So with that, I'm going to turn that over to Erica, unless the commission has any questions for me. I'm just going to turn this over to Erica and let her go. All right, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Erica, and this is my mural project for the Fullstone Wetlands. As a senior at Carson High School, I chose to paint a mural for my senior project. I really wanted to merge my artistic interests with helping the community in some way, and I thought that painting a mural would be a great way to do that. For the research portion of my project, I am looking at the different ways that public art can benefit a community and society, and murals will be one of the points of emphasis in that and how they contribute to that. As for the goals for my project, like I said, I hope to help the community. I really want to capture the essence of this Fullstone Wetlands because I know that the property owners, Dennis and Tony, they feel very passionate about their wetland and their backyard, and I really want to capture that into a 2D design. I hope to gain experience and skills from this project, which I already have, public speaking experience. I've solicited donations, and I've conducted several meetings. Also, this project, I hope, will lay a sort of foundation for future careers because right now I'm looking at majoring in environmental science and minoring in art, and those both play a role in this, which is really nice. The wall itself is located along the entrance to the Fullstone Wetlands. It's been tied with graffiti in the past, so I hope that by painting a mural, it will prevent that from happening again. The dimensions of the wall are 75 feet long by 6 feet high, which is pretty large for a mural, but I'm excited to tackle that challenge. In fact, this entire project is sort of a learning stretch for me because while I've drawn my whole life, I've never done something to this scale before, and I'll really get to challenge, I'll really get to explore this medium, and I'm excited for that. This is where the wall is located. It's next to the freeway, and in front of the Boys and Girls Club is where the Folsom Wetlands is. This is the better picture. There's three entrances to the wetland, and that one in the middle there is where the wall is located, along Spooner Drive and Lake Ridge Lane. Eastridge Lane. This is what the wall looks like currently. These are just some pictures I took when I was out there trying to find inspiration for my design. So far, I've developed three initial concept designs, each with different themes and different color schemes. And I brought these to a meeting with the city staff and the property owners, and we discussed it, and we narrowed it down to one design. And from there, I edited it, and I expanded it for the entire wall, and I came up with that final design, which was approved by the property owners and is what I brought here tonight. Also, the city maintenance staff, they completed the base coat for the wall, which is really helpful because now I can just get started as soon as possible. Yesterday, I presented to the Open Space Committee, and after presenting to you tonight, I can start getting started on the wall. I've already gone to several companies in Carson and asked for donations and help with supplies and paint. But I'm going to make another round by February now that I have specifics and the colors that I'll need. I hope to get the project painted by April 10th, which is around spring break. And the project itself is due the 15th of April. Now, depending on the weather conditions in Nevada, I may need to enlist the help of some friends and family or other AP art students. But I'd like to do as much as I can on my own because I really want the experience. This is the current design, the final design, from start to finish. And I really tried to capture the different wildlife and plant life. The left end is where the path is on the wetland, and then at the bottom with the hawk is where what you would see from the road. And found a heron and some coyotes, different wildlife. It was sort of difficult to come up with a design that would fill the entire wall, but also not overdo it with color or detail since it's so long. So I sort of went with a silhouette and monochromatic style that I think fits pretty well. And this is just the design from start to finish. So that's it. So thank you, and I'd also like to thank Vern, Scott, Ann, Roger, Dennis, and Tony, and my mentor, Mr. Malley. Any questions?
Excellent job. I was impressed as soon as we received the images in our packets. You've just done a fabulous job, and your speaking skills are fantastic. Keep going.
Thank you.
Hi, Erica. So is there a pretty strong art, like, core of art students at the high school? Would you call it, or kind of, are they more loose and individual and doing their own things?
It's pretty individual, I think. It could be stronger, so that would be nice if we could in the future do something with the school. I think that would help. But right now, I think it has a lot of potential to be stronger. But right now, it's sort of individual.
And could we get a copy of your research paper when you're
Definitely.
All done? Okay, that'd be good, because that's kind of right up what we're trying to look at now with economic advantages of promoting art in the community. So thank
okay.
you.
Erica, will you be able to enlist the help of some of your fellow art students once you get this lined out and everything and ready to paint? Or are you just going to do it all yourself?
I I think I'll try to do as much as I can on my own, but definitely if there's a long winter and the spring is limited, then I'll definitely try to get some help from my friends and from the AP students, I think.
Good.
Erica, having served as a judge for senior projects for the last 10 years, I've seen a lot of different project ideas. This is one of the more outstanding. Congratulations. Great idea. I do have one question. What sort of paint do you use, and what's the durability?
I think I'm going to be using acrylic paint and outdoor paint. My mentor has offered to help me with some of that and figuring out what that is. But also, they're going to help with a graffiti-resistant coat at the end. So, yeah. So.
Any more comments? All I can say is, wow. Maria, I can't wait to see it. So, but I love all the work you've done in advance. That's super.
Thank you so
much. You're asking permission up front and getting everybody on board, and that should make it a breeze. Just all we need, and the weather is just the only problem. So. Great.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Okay.
Public comments.
Public comments. Comments of the public. Oh, good. You may applaud. Very good. You may applaud. Great.
Thank you.
That's why I've been teaching high school for 43 years, and I haven't gotten tired yet. I'll be doing it on Thursday again, so thank you again for coming. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move on to 3B, and that would be presentation discussion on the Carson City Arts and Culture Commission's current activities, events, and future direction. And we've got a couple speakers here. Go ahead. Yes, the coalition. The Culture Coalition, and that would be Mr. David B. as he approaches the desk here.
Bugley.
Thank you, Mr. Bugley, for coming.
How close do I have to get to this microphone?
You're good.
Okay, that's good. Let me just give a little background on myself, and I hope I'm not boring you. I wish I had the talent of that young lady for speaking. But I've been in Carson City for 31 years. I've been in several roles. I conduct the Carson City Symphony, and we have an orchestra and choruses and Strings in the Schools program, and Mile High Jazz Band is something I've been doing for about 15 years, and we do a Jazz and Beyond Festival, and then I'm also as a vice president of the Carson City Historical Society, and I don't know how I got into that. And I'm also, Roger knows I'm also the nominal president of the Foundation for the Betterment of Carson City Parks and Recreation, which isn't doing very much at the moment, but we hope to have some things doing. And we've been involved in some things for downtown development. I've been involved years ago when we had the Main Street project. We worked on some events, including the what's going on still. The Silver and Snowflakes came out of the Main Street project. I made my living as a programmer analyst most of the years, and I've taught a little bit at WNC on piano. But I'm here to talk about the Carson City Arts and Culture Coalition. It's a group that's been together for a number of years. I have to admit, it's an informal group. Several years ago, when we got going, we wanted minutes taken, and I agreed, I think in 2008, to be the interim secretary, and I still am in that role. We've been meeting, as I said, for several years, generally monthly on the fourth Tuesday of each month. We get together to share ideas, keep others involved. We've had speakers on marketing, advertising, downtown development, funding, fundraising, facilities, and the uses of the eighth of a cent tax and other topics like that, that things that could impact the arts and in turn the arts impacting our community. Gave a lot of support to the late Dr. Gene Pavlov on his performing arts school concept, and we hope that will come through sometime in the future despite his death. Generally, we have these meetings and try to get the minutes out, and we send notices to about 60 groups and individuals who are involved in the arts or express some interest. And we've, in the past, we've also sponsored voter forums. Now, I think the things that we have in kind of our project right now, because we're sort of in an interim period where we don't have a designated leader. When John Shelton left the Brewery Arts Center, he changed his focus outside of Carson City, and he was running many of the meetings. So I have run, I think, one meeting since he left, and I've been making decisions with a couple of the very active members about when we should have meetings. But recently, we worked with arts groups from Reno, Las Vegas, and statewide on a letter to Governor Sandoval supporting the Nevada Arts Council. We want to see funding restored to pre-recession levels for this very important group. Unfortunately, the NAC budget was hit hard by the recession. The arts, of course, bring economic activities to our towns and our cities, and the CCACC represents several organizations that have benefited from NAC grants and the guidance from the NAC. That's one of our activities and goals coming up. We want to assist this commission here with developing a cultural plan, and it's item 3F on your on today's agenda. Several of us have already had meetings with city staff, with Vern, and Board of Supervisor member Cameron Aboud, and several NAC staff on this, and we think this is very promising if we come up with a cultural plan. There have been some plans in the future that have been put together, and of course, if you don't work the plan, if you don't have a mechanism for working the plan, it sits on the shelf and it gets a little bit old and things change around it. So you have to keep on top of it. Well, we're hoping that we can have a good cultural plan. That leads to the third thing, which is the development. Once we have developed this cultural plan, we're in a position to collect information for state and federal grant applications down the road for arts placemaking in Carson City. How do we make this revitalized downtown that we're after, or the arts community, how do we make that a vital part of the life of the people who are here? How do we make it possible for people to enjoy maybe street musicians and festivals, events, and things like that? There's a lot of potential. We've seen this from my own experience being involved with the Jazz and Beyond Festival through the Mile High Jazz Band Association. We've seen how people just getting together, like in the Legislative Plaza, and enjoying a concert, how that's great mingling. And people realize that this is more than just a company town. This is more than just a town where some laws are made. This is a town where people live and enjoy the facilities. And we can make more of those facilities available through the downtown area and other parts of the city. So if we come up with this cultural plan, there's opportunities for us to go after grants such as the jackpot grants through the Nevada Arts Council, the state, and there's our town grant process through the federal government that we can pursue. One further item I want to mention, and it's actually something that doesn't come up too much in the CCACC meetings, but since in my role as a member, as the vice president of the Carson City Historical Society, we maintain the Foreman Roberts House, which is on city property, it's on Parks property. But we use that, and the idea is that eventually we really want to make that a curated museum for the county. And to that end, we have committed the CCACC, Historical Society, has committed funds to build the cold shell of what's called the Carriage House. It's the building that's behind the Foreman Roberts House. And we will, once that is completed, we will be able to free up space and do some modifications to the historical, to the Foreman Roberts House, with approval, of course, of the Parks Department and everybody else. which is another process that I'm that's too detail oriented for me. And we will hopefully be able to use to create more of a museum atmosphere and create be able to curate according to museum standards that place. And then we will also have a meeting place for our lecture series that we do from time to time, and other events, other social events. And it's a downtown area that should be more than just a place for transients, quite frankly, to spend their afternoons. We want that to be a place that is regarded as vital part of the history of Carson City and the future of Carson City. To that end, we need to raise about $45,000 more to complete the interior. Some of us have committed funds towards that, and we will hopefully get some.
Is this the yellow house that's across from?
Yeah, the yellow house.
The restaurant.
It is the oldest Nevada house in Carson City. It was not built in Carson City. It was built in Old Washoe City, and was moved. No, and it wasn't moved by train through the tunnel. No, there's a lot of rumors. We need the Historical Society because there's a lot of rumors around here, and Guy Roche is not the only one who has the information, and we want to be able to be sure that everybody has the right information. So that's the end of my presentation, but if you have questions, I'll try my best to answer.
Any questions from the board or comments?
Because I noticed that you really didn't do any of your, it's what, the second Tuesdays for your lecture series, but you didn't have them last year. It's when are you planning on reviving those?
We had a few. And we had some dates lined up, and we were using the brick. And it turned out that we ended up with our dates. The brick needed is something. Some of the dates, and quite frankly, let's see, how many organizations did I list I'm involved in? I got a little behind in us lining up some of the presentations. We've done as many as, I think, five or six Third Thursday presentations, and I hope to get it back up and running in the spring, but it's just a case of only so much of me to spread around. But I hope, you know, unless somebody else wants to take that over, I mean, there's... I sometimes do delegate things. Any other questions?
If I could add something, Mr. Chairman, it's been an opportunity and certainly a privilege for me to attend these meetings on a regular basis. I've enjoyed getting to know the different arts folks that are here in Carson City, both the visual and performing arts. The other thing, too, it's really nice to have the connection between this commission and the coalition, because I know Danielle Cook attends on a fairly regular basis, as well as Ellie. So it's nice to have this tie together, but I thought it was important to bring David in this evening to kind of share with some of the other commission members, especially some of the newer ones, that may not know how the coalition plays into this, and a little history, too. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, David, but I think out of the coalition came eventually this commission.
Right.
Is that correct?
That was it, yes. There was people who were driving to form a cultural commission, and so... people like Vern helped us with writing the, some of the technical.
I was a little before my time.
It was a little before your time. Okay, yeah. And there's some technical things I just don't want to get into because it will take up too much of my time for taking away from other things. But one of the things we hope to see eventually is that you have a funding source, so that you can make decisions, and we'd be glad to help you decide where those funds should go. But I think the people of Carson City would really benefit by having a cultural commission that would evaluate public art, street events, and other things that could come out of this process here. So those are the end of my remarks.
Any public comments or questions to our speaker? Mr. Bugley, thank you very much for your presentation. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much. And that ends the discussion on item B, 3B. At this time, I believe I'll call up Mr. Horvath if he would like to come up for 3C, presentation and discussion only on the Brewery Arts Center's proposed FM radio station. And I believe that this is Kyle Horvath, Brewery Arts Center Board President. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you very much.
So in regards to the radio station, I've been the new board president as about 2 weeks now. For anybody who's been paying attention, you know, there's kind of been a rotating door on the Brewery Arts Center lately. Right now, we're trying to stabilize our board, kind of do some assessment, and the radio station is part of that. So because our former board president was the person who was spearheading that operation, and they're no longer here, we're seeing as a board if it's a viable project, a sustainable project, if there is the community interest for it, or if there's anybody else that would want to spearhead this project and run with it. So without being too long-winded, that's about where we're at with the radio station and the Brewery Arts Center.
You have a date where this is sort of like goes poof and disappears, is that correct?
It's my understanding that we have the FM license till August or September. So we've got through the summer to run with this, to get programming on the air. But first and foremost, the board was quoted, I think, an amount of $15,000 to get it up and running. That was in equipment, but there's a lot of other expenses that go with that, as well as programming. In all honesty, that needs to be worked out. I would say by the end of the summertime is when this thing goes poof.
Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, so what was the original main mission behind getting an FM station up and running in Carson City?
I'll speak for myself, because we were kind of at a split board when it was presented. I was an advocate for it, still can be an advocate for it. For me, community radio station is a way that the different factions and groups within a community can have a voice. It's easily accessible. It doesn't matter, you know, demographic, location, income level. You know, everybody's got a radio station. So when you look at rural communities that have community radio stations, such as Chico or Mendocino and Humboldt, you see the communication value in it, but you also see the community contribution that goes in for everybody from, you know, high school issues, talk to, you know, quilting hour to master gardener hour. You know, everybody's got an opportunity to have a voice. And you don't get that on, you know, cable television or internet or anything. So, speaking just from a personal level, I am an advocate for public radio. As a board, though, we have to make some tough decisions and see. So with that said, where were you guys at with the whole public radio idea? Because, you know, in this time where we get to, reassess and come up with our vision, you know, how do you feel about it? What's your stance on the benefit of that to the community?
So we got a question back to us.
Is that okay?
How about that?
Did I just break the rules?
That's good. That's good. Put us on the spot. That's okay. I don't have any problem. I think it would be a real benefit. As I understand it, it would be basically in this locality, and you wouldn't pick it up in Reno or other locations, so it would be pretty local.
And that would be definitely, you know, phase one.
Right.
You know, small successes.
Equipment would be my question. Once you found equipment and had permission to broadcast from some location. Would you introduce your assistant, by the way?
This is my legal advisor, Mia, my four-year-old daughter. So she promised me she's going to be really, really good.
Welcome, Mia. Welcome. Any other comments from the board?
Isn't she, though?
Kyle, once your board decides if they feel that this is viable, I know this board does, that contact that I gave you, give them a call.
I will.
Okay.
I will, and thank you for that. Uh-huh. I mean, those are the types of leads that we're needing and pursuing right now for anybody in the community who is for this project or advocating for it. If you do have connections or leads, we're looking for those. You know, like I said, we need somebody to spearhead this project.
Mr. Chair,
yes, sir.
If somebody else on the commission wants to ask a question, that's fine. I can finish up at the end.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I'd also just, I guess, like to push the partnership with WNC and the high school, you know, so that it's not just for Carson, but it actually can job training or
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I mean, I come from a communications minor background, so that was always, you know, in that, you know, line of education, working for the college radio station was just what you did. So, I mean, that's a great idea, and we have to.
Did you have some call letters on that one?
I'm not sure what they are. I know there was a couple of them that were suggested by the former president.
Okay.
But I'm not exactly sure where that stood.
All right.
Being 2 weeks old, I'm really just learning a lot of the things that were going on. So.
I guess I also, would it be streaming available so that people outside of Carson can kind of stay in touch with their old hometown?
Being on the internet would be an essential part of that. It wouldn't be as valuable if it was radio only. I mean, internet radio is where things are going.
Right.
So, I mean, you would absolutely have to have internet radio.
Any public comment? Comment from the public about the radio station? Yes. Okay.
All right. Make your check out to the BAC.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Cron.
Just a real quick follow-up to this was part of the reason, Kyle, you were asking about the commission's position.
Yes.
This was the first time they've actually had it as a commission to be able the opportunity to hear about the radio station.
Awesome.
The former chairman of the board asked to be put on the agenda for this meeting so he could come in and share with everybody. So I believe that there's a real sense within the commission that this is a good thing, but this is the first time they've heard about it, and that's why we wanted you to come this evening, kind of share with them what you knew. And okay. That if you need to come back for their support or more of a formal motion from them, we can certainly do that at the next meeting. But that was part of the reason we wanted to bring you here, so you could share with them, okay. And they could kind of just have this dialogue going back and forth regarding the radio station.
Cool. And I mean, realistically, I'm not withholding any. That's the information that I have, you know, from what we were given, you know, from the reports, you know, back to the board. As a board, we've got a lot of work ahead of us. You know, so the
we're going to, why don't we go ahead and move to that part that you're talking about right now, and
okay.
Move to, and keep Kyle up here and kind of move on to section D and presentation discussion only of the Brewery Arts Center's current activities, events, and future direction.
All right.
You may continue.
Thank you. So, you know, even in the transition, our doors are still open. Our rentals are available in the three facilities that we have, the Black Box Theater, the ballroom upstairs, as well as the performance hall. So we are still renting, and those are still available. The classes are still going on. Those are full, and we're about to finish a semester of arts classes and start a new one here in middle of January. The NAA Art Gallery is a great tenant. You know, they're doing awesome, and we're seeing a lot of traction down there. The artisan store and that area is running itself right now, so we're having no problems, so to speak. Programming, we have programs going on. Pretty much what's going on is music series, and what we've done is we've booked shows through March, April, May. The way that's worked is promoters come up with an idea for a particular series, whether it be a bluegrass series, a jazz series, a funk series, classical guitar, whatever it may be, and then they block book for once a month for 5 months. And then we offer a 50-50 split at the door. Promoters are able to get their sponsors for their event. We're able to get sponsors for it, and the risk gets cut down. It's a way to keep the music flowing at the Brewery Arts Center, which... from what I'm gathering is extremely important to the community. So coming up in the near future, we've got A Joyful Noise with John and Cherie Shipley on December 18th, so that is Thursday. On December 20th, Christmas show Only in My Dreams with Cece Gable, so that's a jazz vocalist. On January 17th, we've got our winter fundraising event, Winter Wine and All That Jazz. We're doing something different this year, so it's Winter Wine Spirits and All That Jazz, because we recognize not everybody's a wine drinker, so we've brought beer, liquor, and sake into the mix, and we're bringing it back to the campus of the Brewery Arts Center, because we really want to showcase our facilities and what we have available, But we want to really showcase and exhibit the diversity of the arts that we have in the area. So every corner of the Brewery Arts Center is going to have a different performer, whether it be musical, magical, Cirque du Soleil style, singing waiters, horse-drawn carriages, back and forth. So this is really where we're hoping that the community gets behind this, because we're looking at this as our new push as where the Brewery Arts Center is going, our attention to detail, our attention to the community, and particularly our attention to the arts.
You have a partner as well in that event, don't you?
Yes, RSVP, so the senior volunteer group is helping us with our fundraising as well as volunteer staffing the event, which when you're doing it across two blocks of a campus takes a whole lot of volunteers. So this is the poster that's designed for the event. We have online tickets available through the website as well as through Facebook. And so that's what we've got going on with Winter Wine and all that jazz.
Kyle, do you have extra posters?
I do. They're out in my car, so I'll run out there and grab a bunch, and I'll leave these.
Okay.
And really, it'd be great if you could sponsor it. It'd be awesome if you could donate something to our raffle and our auction. At the bare minimum, you and your loved one buy a ticket and come and enjoy yourself at the Brewery Arts Center. We are going to have food paired with all of that. So it's just going to be a really, really deep event. You know, again, this is what we're trying to build of where, you know, we're thinking about going. So with that said, and then we've also got another series coming up. This is the Tahoe Sound Series. So this is the fourth Fridays of every month, starting in January until March, and this is all the touring funk and world music and jazz bands from Tahoe in Northern California. Good friends of mine, we're bringing them down to the Brewery Arts Center, and pulling out all the lasers and lights and everything like that, and doing another genre of music that we offer at the Brewery Arts Center. So. That's what the events are going on. As the board, we're in strategic planning mode. So, again, I'll ask the question, what could the BAC be in your eyes to this community? And then I really look forward to coming back and excited to present the vision that we come up with and the plan and the detailed plan that we have for taking it there. So,
any comments from the board?
I'm hoping in the future that the BAC can actually be the lead agency in all of our community events and so forth. So ultimately, I'd like to see you get there.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have the television contract with the city?
We do still have the television contract. And that is my understanding. We start negotiating that again in January, and it comes up in April or something like that. But no, and the media center is doing great too.
Okay.
So there's a lot of good things going on at the brewery, on campus. You know, we've just got some issues that we're tackling, you know, head on. So,
Mr. Chairman,
any comments from the public? Mr. Cron, any comments?
Just one last thing. Again, I know a number of you are members of the Brewery Arts Center. You know, that number, I think probably at least half of you up there are members. This was an opportunity to get Kyle here. I do appreciate you coming, Kyle, on a two-week notice kind of thing. It was kind of like I was having discussions with the former board president, and then all of a sudden he vanishes and then gets dropped in Kyle's lap. And for being courageous and coming and sharing and talking on such short notice, we certainly do appreciate that.
I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in the Brewery Arts Center. I will say this, though. Thank you to the entire Carson City community for their patience with us while we do this. The support is amazing through all of it. You know, people still believe in the Brewery Arts Center, so I take that very seriously. But I do want to thank our volunteers, who we've been leaning into a lot lately. So they're really the heroes of this story, and then the board members have just been amazing to work with, and I really am proud of the team that we're putting together to take it into the new direction. So, like I said, excited to come back next time with a lot more information.
Good. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on in the agenda, we're looking at item 3E, discussion only of the Cultural Commission's Reno-Nevada Public Art Walking Tour on June 17th 2014, and you may want to look at some of the stuff in your packet if you're not up to date on that. Mr. Cron has provided that for us. Go ahead, Roger or Vern.
Yeah, I'll take this one, Mr. Chairman. On Tuesday, June 17th, an illustrious group of Cultural Commission members and brave folk took on the opportunity to spend some time with Miss Christine Fay. She is with the Resource Development and Cultural Affairs Manager for the City of Reno. We had the opportunity to take a walking tour. The first one was, the first part of the tour was to go through Reno City Hall. They have an incredible indoor art collection that they've been able to accomplish with their public art program. It's been amazing. I think it was Terry, Danielle, Ellie, and Karen that went. That was really good. I put in your packet, we all received some of the literature that was in your packet. I wanted to share that with the commission. Some of the images you can see up on the screen. What was amazing to me was that the City Hall art collection was on all those floors. There's like six or eight floors that it was on, and it was scattered throughout those in the employee work area, in the employee break area. It was just exciting to see that just as a part of the whole experience. And the artists that we had, there's a variety of different artists. Phyllis Schaffler was there, Ingrid Evans, Jim McCormick. I mean, the artists were amazing. Art landscapes, more other types of art. It truly was amazing. I don't need to go through these too quickly, but I thought this was amazing. We also had the opportunity to walk around and see in the downtown area. We had the opportunity to actually walk outside and walk around and see art. But I wanted to put this on so that the commissioners who did go and my boss could share with you folks kind of your thoughts, your impressions. I thought it was an amazing tour, so I just wanted to give the other commissioners the opportunity to kind of share that with the other commissioners and the public, what we saw and what we experienced.
Please speak.
I'll go. So first of all, Christine Fay is an incredibly dynamic person, and in order to really get a well-funded arts initiative in our town or any town, I think we need to clone her. She just was nonstop all night, you know, really fascinating and really super high energetic. And she was there in 1994 when they didn't have any funding and they just started a cultural committee for the city of Reno and has slowly built up to the point where now when she gets new city council members, she doesn't even have to educate them anymore on the importance of art in Reno. They get it. And the other thing, another spot when we were at the Reno City Hall, she took us to the chambers where they have their city council meetings and other public meetings, and there's a lot of art in that room to remind city council members that art is important and it's pleasant to be around and it can enhance your environment while you're at these meetings. And so we were wondering when we were going to get a big fabulous piece of art in here to inspire the Board of Supervisors. But finally, at the end, we were all just kind of overwhelmed, like, wow, you've done so much. And it was right on at the pre-dawn of Art Town. Art Town was just about to get going for her, so, you know, real busy time for her. And I asked her, so what can we start with? We don't have any funding. We have support, but we don't have any financial backing. And so how do we start this process? How do we start down the road that you took your city down? And she said, insinuate art in unexpected places. And that's my comment.
I'd like to piggyback on Terry's. It was amazing to me that how much, and Terry alluded to this, how much their city council embraces the arts. And 100% behind it, to the point where Christina Fay is a paid employee. And she was formerly a city planner, I believe. which is terrific, because when they tell her that an art installation can happen in a certain location, she says, yes, it can, and this is how. And so is not willing to take no for an answer. And I agree with Terry. Her energy was amazing. There was art in every cubicle in the city offices. It was, I would love to have Sharon Rossi walked out for a minute, but I would love to see the level of what Sharon does in more of our public places. It would be phenomenal, which is part of the discussion we're going to have in a little bit.
One of the things Christine told us is that they still get members of the community who complain about their funds going to art and public art when we need more police, we need more education. So her response to them is to pull 15 cents out of her pocket and say, I'm sorry you feel that way, and here's your share back.
I've just got it. It was great to see all that Reno's been doing, and I think one of the things I took away the most was you got to start somewhere, you know, because it's, they didn't wake up with all that art overnight. It's been 20 years of a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and then it just starts, the ball starts rolling, and then all of a sudden there is art everywhere. But it's got to start somewhere in little, you know, and then it just piles on and piles on and piles on, and then there's just art everywhere you look. And there's a lot of little things that, you know, that are very low cost that we can do to start insinuating art into, you know, the painting of the water grates, you know, fun bike racks. There's murals, you know, more partnerships with high school students. It's just a matter of, you know, what walls can we paint? And how do we, you know, where do we find someone to paint them? It's definitely just even little steps, you know, we'll get us going somewhere. So.
I just want to add that I was not able to go because I was in Gillette, Wyoming, a coal mining town in the middle of nowhere. And they have, they were in the process, every year they bring in art. And they were in the process of selling, they had sold all the art off, it's all outdoor art, and they were displaying the new pieces that they had commissioned at the community college. And they have developed a 3-mile highway with a center median where they display the art over the year and then sell it off and commission more art the following year. I mean, these people are committed to art in this little nowhere place in the between the Black Hills and Yellowstone, and it's phenomenal, their commitment. So I couldn't help but go around that town, see all the art, and think, my gracious, if these guys can do it, even though they have a lot of money from coal receipts, why can't we do something in the capital city? So that's where it's going on other places. Why not here? It's going on here. We just need to get it exposed, right?
I've been told by Vern to weigh in here.
Okay.
And I usually do what Vern tells me. So.
Yes.
In fact, I was sitting here originally, and he told me, no, he sits here and moved me over here. So you caught that? But, you know, not to, I guess, repeat what the rest of you said. I mean, you know, it was a pretty amazing little trip and an adventure through Reno. But I think really what kind of made me the most impressed is how maybe Christine and, you know, all of her supporters have helped the city of Reno understand the value of art for the community and what it does for the community, not just for art's sake, but, you know, the economic impacts that are associated with art, too. And it becomes very obvious. You know, we all drive through Reno, drive down Virginia Street and kind of around the downtown core area, but when you really get out and walk it, you do find, as I think Terry said, art in surprising areas. There was a little alley in the back of sort of a refurbished business area that was just these old garage doors that, you know, you really have very limited public exposure, but there was art and mural on those garage doors. So they've done a great job, and I think they really have, you know, set a really good example of what Carson City could do in the future, too.
Any public comment? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead and come up and speak to us on the microphone. We won't bite you, we promise. Please introduce yourself as well.
Hello, I'm Ursula Carlson. I'm a retired professor at Western Nevada College. You know, so no civilization has ever gotten anywhere without art in all its various forms. I think it's, I commend all of you for your interest and support of music, visual arts, literary arts, the film. I'm so excited that we're forming coalitions from with various community organizations, units, in order to do this. I think as a capital city, I would love to see us be in the forefront. I think the fact that Reno has set such a fine example for Northern Nevada in this area is wonderful, and I'm thrilled to see that you want to follow up on that because, you know, for individual human beings, there is nothing as satisfying as doing something in art, anything. You know, when people are surveyed and psychologists survey for happiness kind of quotients, very often the people who are most satisfied with their lives are the ones who do something in art, even if it's supporting art. You know, money, buying objects never does it. It's expressing and understanding the emotions and the ideas that we find whenever we consider any piece of art. So, thank you.
Ursula, thank you so much for that fine comment.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
One last thing on this topic, if you will, please, is that this commission has done, I think, an amazing job of building a relationship with Christine Fay. You know, she's been down and spoken with us on their master plan. We've gone up and visited them. She's an amazing resource, and she's willing to give. And I just, she lives in Reno. Her energies are there, but she has enough energy, you know, God bless her soul, that she's willing to share it with us. And, you know, as we move forward, depending on how the outcome of this night goes, you know, I know she's willing to help us and be a part of what anything we do here in the future. So this, I want to commend everyone who has been involved in getting to know Christine. She's an amazing woman, and I think she'll be a great resource as we move forward. So,
great. Thank you. Okay, at the end of our Board of Supervisors meeting this year and in the spring, we made an attempt to seek funding. And we came back to our erstwhile public leaders over here sitting to my right, and we committed them for their efforts, and we asked them to go out and take a look at another avenue or another method where we could come back and go to the city again with a plan. And they have done that, and we're going to talk about that now. That's going to be 3F on our agenda. For possible action, to recommend that the Board of Supervisors direct the Cultural Commission to pursue the development of a cultural master plan for Carson City and take the lead on developing a scope of work and funding implementation strategy for the cultural master plan, including seeking Nevada Art Council grants and other grant funding opportunities. So I will try to get Mr. Mollendorf to speak again. And thank you.
Well, thank you. You kind of, you really sort of set this up well. Again, you know, back in December of 17th of 2013, we did receive direction from the commission to make another attempt at trying to find a funding mechanism via an ordinance to try to find funding for public art. At that time, and that would have been our second attempt, yeah. At that time, the mayor had asked us to put this on the back burner because the city was dealing with a lot of other issues that he felt that really needed the city really needed to concentrate on. One, of course, which you know is the 1/8 cent sales tax that we're moving forward on. And so we did that, and it's kind of been in the back burner. But a couple things have happened since then. One is the tour that we just talked about, the arts tour of Reno, and our discussions with Christine Fay. And then some other discussions with other people, including Mary Works Covington over here to the left of Vern Cron, and Sharon Ross was involved in some conversations about how do we move forward with trying to promote art in Carson City public art especially, and how do we find funding for it? And it became really apparent to us that really the communities that are very successful in this attempt usually have achieved or acquired or completed a cultural and arts master plan for their community. And that is really sort of a criteria that you must meet when you're trying to get some of these grants, either through the NEA or with the state, for art projects and cultural projects, that you really have to have, to be competitive, a master plan that involves the cultural and arts segment of the community. And so we thought that it might be a good opportunity to take a step back and say, let's continue to put a little bit of a hold on this ordinance, and let's look at focusing our efforts towards a master plan for the community in terms of arts and culture, and have the funding segment of it, which may include an ordinance, be kind of wrapped into that master plan, so that when we come to the Board of Supervisors, a funding element isn't going to be a standalone item that's just sort of dropped out of the sky and doesn't have any context. If we have it as part of a master plan, then we think it kind of all becomes a bigger picture, a whole cloth, and it becomes kind of the context within itself, that it may become more acceptable to the Board of Supervisors, who has to make a lot of difficult decisions about where funding goes. And so tonight we hope to explore that in a little more detail. Mary Works Covington is here, and she's going to, I think, talk a little bit about what other communities have done or how we can kind of get started with this. And is that correct, Mary?
That's correct.
Okay, very good. So I didn't set you up for failure here. But I think at that point, I'll really kind of defer to Mary, and she can kind of talk about this. And unless you have some questions for Vernon and I before that.
Okay, my name is Mary Works Covington. I'm the Community Arts Development Program Coordinator for the Nevada Arts Council. And throughout the course of the last year, I've had multiple conversations with many arts organizations and many individual artists and also citizens of this community regarding different arts events, regarding what is happening within Carson City. And we also are in the middle of our own strategic planning process, which our agency conducts every 3 years as part of our funding through the National Endowment for the Arts. And as part of that process, one of the things that we did was we went to 13 communities throughout the state of Nevada, and we conducted Arts Town meetings. And in those meetings, we asked, what is your vision of a culturally rich community? What are your assets in this community? What are the challenges that you face in trying to achieve those visions? And, you know, how can the Nevada Arts Council help you to get there? And in Carson City, some interesting things came up, and there were some of the same issues that came up throughout the state, but in some cases they were different. For example, one of the things that came up here was trying to develop agreements to get access to city and state property. Because it is a capital city, there's a lot more issues involving that than there might be in other communities. So that was a unique one. One of the things that came up that's not unique was eliminate duplications. And I know I came before you shortly after we had that meeting and reported on some of the outcomes of that. But I want to bring it up again because it is pertinent to what you're going to be discussing tonight. Eliminating duplications in terms of calendaring, in terms of events, sharing resources, and sharing access to marketing. And because in this community, you're sharing the same people at a lot of your events. And there's only so much discretionary time and discretionary income that people are dealing with. And I think that it's important. People plan their weekends. Other people plan what they're going to do. So creating kind of an artist marketplace was one thing. Looking at marketing and funding and trying to share some of those resources. And creating a gathering place for artists to communicate, because one of the things that came up over and over was that people, and I think Kyle spoke about this as well earlier, people really appreciate being able to get together to discuss issues that are common to all of them, and also just gathering is fun. And David talked about it. I've been to a lot of those events in that they put on through the symphony, and it makes you feel like you're part of a community that cares about where they live. It gives you pride. So I think those are important. And also collaboration between arts groups was another thing that's important. And one of the things that Carson City has done really well is a lot of your plans. And when you look up here, Vern put this slide up, culture and arts are part of the factors that you guys have identified in your strategic plan as being very, very important element for quality of life. So it's already in your strategic plan. And so what you're looking at now is the possibility of developing that out, fleshing that out to a full-fledged cultural plan. And you've already done a great job of laying the groundwork for all of this. There's a lot of, and Carson City Arts and Cultural Coalition have already laid the groundwork for all of those groups to work together in a really masterful way. So in one sense, everything has already funneled toward this, and what you really need to do now is just pull the elements together and move it forward, because I think my feeling from discussions with citizens in this town is that the time is really right. And listening to you all tonight talk about, you know, the work that you've done with Christine Fay, it really feels like the time is right for this. And one of the benefits of cultural planning and why cultural planning matters, and I'm just going to read a little bit, is based on examples from other cities, a cultural plan enhances quality of life, which is what you have up there, and creative economic development initiatives. It enables more strategic local investment in arts and culture. So I think ultimately what this plan will do is pull together all of these elements and all of these groups at these arts town meetings that are talking about we need to collaborate. If they have a plan and everybody knows where it's going and that the city's invested in it and moving forward, then different people can plug in at the appropriate times and share those resources. There's a greater return on that investment for the community, and it also equips that community to and its partners to respond to arts-related needs that come up. It will enhances promotion of cultural assets, economic development, and tourism interests. It increases collaboration among artists and arts organization, and improves services provided to citizens and visitors. And it also helps area funders, public and private, understand the prioritized needs in the arts community so that they can make more informed funding decisions. And it will also help you to, as Roger discussed, secure additional funding for where you want to go. Because when you start to look at some of the bigger opportunities and bigger funding grants, one of the first questions they're going to ask you is, well, where does this fit into your cultural plan? And if you say, well, we don't really have a cultural plan, they're going to go, okay, well, why don't you check back with us when you do, and we'd love to talk to you about where you're going. So those are some of the things that Byrne and Roger asked me to talk about. Is there anything else that you wanted me to address?
No, I just, what about some of the communities that do have a cultural plan? And I was surprised when we had our meeting to find out how few actually in Nevada actually have a cultural and or arts plan. Can you talk a little bit about the few communities that do for us?
Las Vegas, and a lot of that focus is on public art, and they do have funding for that. They re-grant, Reno is also re-grants to individual artists in the community. And in Nevada, Carson City is poised to join Las Vegas and Reno in taking the lead to develop a cultural plan because there are not any other ones. And it makes sense as the capital city to be taking the lead in this. You can look throughout other cities across the nation and find excellent examples of cultural plans. And from the research that I've done and in talking to different people in different communities, a lot of times what it's done is really helped to focus a lot of elements that were already in place and provide the framework where they can hang their vision and hang all their hopes and dreams, if you will, on that. And it's provided a platform for to be able to speak to different partners in the community, whether it's for funding and for, you know, donations, for partnerships, that if they can see that you have a plan and you're just kind of marching along and pulling in different elements, just like many of the other plans that you've developed with open space.
Yep.
And people like plans. They can hang their hat on it. It makes sense to them. And if you do it well, and Carson City has a history, you know, looking at your strategic plan of doing this very well, and getting that buy-in. And part of that process is it kind of solves certain problems that some of the arts organizations have in this community, which is engagement. Part of the process of cultural planning is you have to go out into the community and find out what the needs are. And along that path, you also engage new audience members and bring, you know, other aspects of the community, so it becomes a whole community, into the fold, and find out, you know, and everybody else will bring something to the mix as well. And that's a beautiful thing, because you're engaging new people in that process and also learning. And that's part of that process. And one of the aspects that a lot of organizations within a community like this have is difficulty engaging new members of the community, reaching out to them. So that would also enhance your cultural facilities that you already have and your arts organizations in this process, and continue to create community as well. That's part of that process.
If I could add to that a little bit, and it's kind of a form of a statement, a form of a statement, really a question to you, I guess, is that part of the process would really include sort of an inventory of the existing cultural activities and public art that you also have in the community, and I guess even private art, such as galleries and that type of, you know, those type of venues. But when you talk about creating a community, it also is trying to promote multiculturalism and looking at the diversity of our demographics and looking at where the art opportunities and cultural opportunities lie in those areas. And that, I think, has a great unifying force for a community. Chairman mentioned Gillette, Wyoming, and you know, the common thought is, where the hell is Gillette, Wyoming? You know, it's in the middle of nowhere. But I can guarantee you, because I'm very familiar with Gillette, Wyoming, that when you go to Gillette, you won't find very many communities that have such a sense of pride and such a sense of community as Gillette has. And part of that is because it is a mining town, so the people are kind of all in the same, you know, same livelihood. But the second thing is their activities, their arts activities, their cultural activities, and even their athletics and sports activities really kind of formed as a binder to pull that community together. And, you know, you would drive through Gillette, and maybe your first thought was, can't wait to get out here and I wouldn't want to live here. But people that live there enjoy it, and they're, you know, they're very much supportive of their community.
One thing I'm so happy, Mary, that you mentioned was the capital city concept, because we're such a crossroads for people from Dayton who work or shop here, or Tahoe or Gardnerville or Minden or Washoe Valley or whatever. So thinking capital city is maybe, to me, getting outside the boundaries of Carson City. We're going to need those people to come in and get involved in this, as well as the local residents. So I'd like to look at this planning as maybe an area or community planning more than just a specific little spot, because with so many people flow in and ebb out of this community, this town, with the traffic and the shopping and the so many employed at the state. So thank you for bringing up the capital city idea, you know, concept. I like that. Any other comments from the board?
I'd like to make a comment.
Please.
Roger, you made a comment that you wish that we had a cultural plan back when the master plan was done back in 2005, although we didn't have a cultural commission then. This is only about 6 years old. So I see it as kind of the last peg in the wheel to put the whole process together. And bringing the entire community together with the sales tax initiative and the corridors revamping and all the rest, it just seems like it's a logical time to bring art into every aspect of that. And Mary, I guess my question for you is, we talked about this briefly, but just for the record, what the nuts and bolts are that's involved, what a facilitator, as it were, would cost, or someone to help with this process, and how the grants, what grants are available to us to kind of match that cost?
Cost really depends a lot on your own community, but the grants, there's a couple of grants that we have. The first one coming up is February, middle of February, and that's a jackpot grant. It's a matching grant. It's $1,000, and that would go towards helping you begin the planning process and beginning to look at what is involved. What are the steps that we need to take as a commission or as a community? How do we begin this process? And our fiscal year resets July 1st, so you could apply for a secondary one on May 15th. Is that right, Pat? I believe that's right. It's fiscal year, yeah. And so that would enable you to continue that process and start looking at potential consultants that, you know, would have the qualifications to help you do a very broad and deep cultural planning process to pull in all of the different elements and community members who would want to be able to, and all the stakeholders who would want to be able to contribute to this process.
Those jackpot grants are $1,000.
Yeah, and then we have on July 1st, we have a Nevada Circuit Rider grant, which is it's not matching, it's $3,500. Mm-hmm. And that is specifically to work with a consultant in what it could be, whatever issue that you're working with, but in this case, it would be planning. So you work with a consultant specifically on planning. And that, between those three grants, I think that would help you get started and develop your scope of work and start looking at other funding opportunities and have a better idea of what the process is going to take, how long it's going to take, because it really varies. In this community, a lot of groundwork has already been done in a lot of areas, so that might help shorten the process. And because some communities are absolutely starting from scratch.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Comments from the public?
Sorry
about that.
Now, it says that the deadline is February 13th. Now, our next meeting won't be until after that. Is there any way that we can apply for that now? I mean, can we?
Yeah, Burns offered to take the initiative and write that. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that's correct. That was smooth, Mary. That was real smooth. No, you don't need to take lessons from her. Here's how the process is going to work. The plan is, depending on how the commission moves this evening, if the commission decides to go forward, staff, it will make every effort possible to get this on the agenda for the Board of Supervisors in their second meeting in January, which would be January 15th. If the board will go ahead and say, yeah, we're going to give you permission to start working on putting together a scope of work for this master plan, a cost for it, then we will apply for this grant. And yes, I will write it. And actually, Kelly, who's my landscape intern, has already been doing some research on it already for me. So we went over that a little bit today. So we're preparing to go after that. But that's kind of the plan. And then once we get the blessing from the board, if that's where we end up going, and then we'll have at least $1,000 to start working with a consultant who does these cultural master plans to develop a scope of work, and then we can put some numbers to it. And then we can start down the road of talking to the board, looking at getting other grants that will match the city expenses. So it's going to be probably a good year-long process to get this through, as considering we're already into the budget cycle for 15-16, so I don't think there's a way we can get into that at this point. But if we can put together enough grants, we can go back to the board, not with hat in hand, but with saying, we have money, we've done our homework, we know how much it's going to cost, we know what the scope of work is going to be,
and we have X amount of dollars to contribute to the expense that, and then we would just help get an offset from the board to, you know, get the amount of money we need to go ahead with the plan. So that's kind of the big picture process.
And I will also add that I have been asked by a number of other communities to also look into a potential additional funding for planning, which a lot of communities are doing right now throughout the state. So as those resources come up, I am always sending that information along to several communities throughout the state, and we'll continue to send all that information to Vern as well.
So, Vern, let me understand this. So we apply for funding, and one of these is not a matching grant, so we don't have to necessarily worry about that, the rider, the circuit rider grant. But then once we secure that funding, then we go to the Board of Supervisors and request some additional funding to pay a consultant to complete the plan.
Yes, that's okay. Basically correct, yes.
Okay.
That's pretty close, yes.
Okay. I'm feeling a motion coming, so before we do that, is there any comment from the audience, the public?
Sharon Ross, Capital City Arts. I don't have a comment, really, other than let's do this. it's overdue.
What a thought.
I've lived in Carson City 34 years, and it's, come on, let's go.
Come on, let's
go. We can do it. A jackpot grant's pretty simple, two questions.
I like that since I'm doing it.
It's two questions.
Yes.
And Mary can help you. She'll go over the narrative before you submit it. Let's do it.
Would anybody on the board like to entertain a motion?
I move to recommend that the Board of Supervisors direct the Cultural Commission to pursue the development of a cultural master plan for Carson City and take the lead on developing a scope of work and funding implementation strategy for the cultural master plan, including seeking Nevada Art Council grants and other grant funding opportunities.
I'll second that.
Any discussion from the board members on this motion that's been seconded? Are you ready to vote? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? So moved. Okay, little steps get us there eventually. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry, can I follow
right
up
ahead.
With
please,
a final thought? I have been working with Sherry Rupert out at the Stewart Indian School, trying to get a cultural center refurbished and opened up out there. With the primary goal was it would be a facility for alumni from the Stewart Indian School to come back and visit and actually have some place to go.
Absolutely.
Inside.
Yes.
Instead of walking around the grounds and reminiscing about holding hands and stuff, but. Sherry, I think that the comment earlier about the time is ripe right now in Carson City. We also feel that out at Stewart in our work. We feel that the time we've been building, we've been working really hard, we've been getting little grants here and there, and it feels like there's momentum right now in just not just out at Stewart, but just in the community at large. And especially since we're a capital city, I think that it would be great if we could highlight the entire state's tribal contributions to our cultural life here, not just focusing on the Carson colony, although we need to engage them, but because we're the capital, we can showcase all kinds of artists from, you know, the Great Basin.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can I comment on Terry's comment?
Please.
Yes, thank you.
In sidebar conversations with the BAC, and you know, it seems like it's all coming together. That's part of the whole embrace, and I see that this is being the ability to make all that happen.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Bugley, do you have any comment?
Well, I just see it tying in with the downtown revitalization, so everything is coming together.
Okay, and do you feel so empowered to go forward?
Yes, Roger has given me very specific directions that while he's on vacation, I get to put together this board action report for
okay.
the Board of Supervisors and for agenda signing, so we'll get it on the January 15th meeting to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, we've had our public comments, and we've had our vote. Would you like to move on to item G, and you can tell us a little bit about that, Vern?
Absolutely. One of the things that was on the to-do list for the commission was to look again at our websites. What we were able to do, thanks to Kaya's efforts, she was able to download the two websites, actually, that Karsten has for the Cultural Commission.
Mm-hmm.
We have, as I explained in my staff report, we have a, if you will, kind of a standard Cultural Commission website that the city manager's office oversees and controls. And then we have, under the Parks and Recreation Department website, a second one with a lot more detail, frequently asked questions, those kind of things. So one of the things that we did the last time we looked at this a couple years ago for some of the new members was to just kind of review it, make sure it was current. Are there any changes we want to make? You know, is there any discussion we might want to have about two websites versus one website? If you actually go on and kind of work your way through the different website call-outs we have here, it gets kind of convoluted. And so staff didn't want to arbitrarily do anything necessarily, but bring that to the board's attention and see what we might want to do. Probably on the immediate issue would be maybe to look at any changes or edits that you want to make to either one of the websites. We can certainly work with the city manager's office, Janet, down there to make any changes to the one they control, excuse me, if we feel that's necessary. And of course, we control ours and can make any changes. But maybe even then in the bigger picture, do we need two? I don't know. That's kind of the discussion I wanted to have with the commission. If you wanted to weigh in here.
No, but we were discussing this again just a little bit ago in our office. And we were looking at the two websites, and you know, we feel that there, you know, it may cause some confusion for the new person at Carson City who is trying to find out what is going on with the Culture Commission. If we have two separate websites that, while they're similar, they're not exactly the same. And the one that's under the Park and Recreation Department has more information in it, and maybe what we really need to do is maybe we need to look at melding those two together so that they're,
yeah.
you know, more consistent.
Can you just put a link to from the city's website to the website
yeah.
that you have that has more information? Because the one thing I know in dealing with the city's website, it's very hard to add information to. And so with that being said, if perhaps we could just set up a link and then it goes to
okay.
further information, seems good. Like the simpler solution.
That's, you know, that's probably a good comment. We could link them. You know, if you look at one of your sister commissions, you know, the Shade Tree Council also has a website and a Facebook page too. And Facebook page is sometimes a little easier to update and keep fresher, and that might be another option
mm-hmm.
we may want to look at as well.
I want to apologize for making a transgression here. I did not want to treat Mary Works Covington like a piece of chopped liver here. I want to thank you very much for your presentation. I should have done that earlier, so I apologize. And thank you so much for being eloquent and clear and in your thoughts and your presentation. Thank you. Okay. So we're going to look into linking or combining those two
yeah.
websites. Good.
We'll come back with some sort of a recommendation. I just wanted to check if you saw any edits as you looked over the material. Or is there any errors, misspellings, you know, people that should be on it that aren't, or whatever. You know, I just wanted to make sure that it's always good to have another pair of eyes on both these websites just so that when somebody does pull it up, we look professional. You know, we don't have the wrong spellings of different things on there. So if we didn't catch any edits or any stuff like that, then we can move on toward maybe the bigger picture and bringing that back in March with some options for the commission.
Well, and rather than having a, you know, when you click on it, for more information, go here. Can you just completely redirect it so when they click on that link, it just goes to your website anyway? I mean, yeah, rather than duplicating it so that no matter where they go, they're going to the same place.
And speaking of Facebook updates, I would think in hopefully going forward with the cultural planning process and all the rest of that, it would be a really important thing to keep the buzz going on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
I agree.
Good. Any public comment? We're about 96 minutes into this meeting. Does everybody feel like we can stick it out to the end? Do we need a break or are we okay? We're good? Okay, let's go ahead, and we're almost there, so we'll move along. And we'll go to, and I hope, by the way, to hear more about what you're doing out at Stewart. I think that's a very interesting endeavor that you have going out there. It's one of my favorite places in Carson. It's so full of history and beauty. I really like it out there. So mm-hmm. So I hope to hear more about that in the future.
Well, we hope to have more than just an alumni center. We want to have an arts and cultural center that Carson City can use.
Great. Okay, staff updates and discussion, item number 4 on the agenda, and that would be 4A, and an update on the downtown Carson City project and 3rd Street Plaza project timeframes, Mr. Vern L. Cron.
Yeah, let me just, this has been an important thing for this commission. The idea of the downtown plan, and I wanted to kind of share some information with them regarding timeframes, because a lot of these timeframes, because the Board of Supervisors has put staff on a fairly stiff marching order to get things done, we're going to move very quickly, and some of the stuff that the Commission and the public, the art community in particular, is going to have to weigh in on will probably start to happen before this Commission reconvenes again in March. So yep. I wanted to give everybody dates so that they could put it on their calendar. But before that, let me give you some background information. What the city does is it's in the process now, since the Board of Supervisors approved a concept for the downtown and for 3rd Street, the city has put out through the Public Works Department a request for proposal. We are talking about asking consultants from, you know, locally as well as regionally to submit their qualifications and the scope of work related to the downtown plan and developing it. And I'm going to go into a little more detail about that. That's happening right now as we speak. Those requests for proposals are due this Thursday. There's been a city team of staff that's been selected to sit on this review panel, and they will go through a scoring process to identify probably the top 3 firms, and then they'll do oral interviews with those folks, and then eventually bring to the board a recommendation of who's to hire and who to be a part of this process. But let me kind of read through some things. Sometimes these RFPs are concise enough, but let me kind of, you can bear with me, I want to read some basic information into the record. The downtown Carson Street project has been subject of recent public outreach programs, which have included developing a conceptual vision for the street improvements. The vision includes redefining the street corridor as an urban complete street with wider sidewalks, landscaping, urban street furniture and amenities, sidewalk cafes, and urban art. So that's in there. I'm hoping the consultants will pick up on that, well, from my perspective, very strongly, as a part of their proposal, but it's amongst other things that are very important as well. The Carson Street project is now ready to move into a detailed design phase. The city desires to engage a consulting team to complete the design in 2005, enable construction to proceed to be completed in 2016. So again, a fairly aggressive, I mean, even from a design side.
2015.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
2005.
Oh, excuse me, yes, sorry. To complete the design in 2015, and when you start talking about the intricacies of all these issues, we have underground utilities, a little over $2.1 million or $2.2 million of just utility improvements in the downtown core. So you got to get all that stuff done. Then you start talking about detailed design. grading, drainage, site amenities, landscaping. This is a daunting task to be able to get this project designed and completed within this time frame that's been given. And then, of course, to try to get it done in 2016 before the next legislative session rolls into town. Right. So those are a lot of parameters that the Public Works Department is working on. Here's the other thing that I think it's important to say. The Curry Street improvements would be designed in conjunction with the Carson Street project, but would be constructed and separately funded after Carson Street improvements are completed. In addition, the renovation of 3rd Street between Carson Street and Curry Street into an outdoor plaza may be included in the Carson Street and Curry design efforts, which they will be. Now, here's where it becomes, I think, very important for people to become active and get involved. There is going to be, as identified in this request for proposal, an extensive outreach program to the community as a part of the design effort. As I mentioned, the request for proposals are due on the 18th. City staff will go through this revision process, and the plan right now is to bring forward the design contract with the selected consultant to the board on February 5th. Right out of the chutes, what has to happen is these public meetings have to start. So I'm anticipating that not too long after they award the contract on February 5th, they will start these public meetings in order to meet these time frames. And so since we don't meet till the middle of March, I wanted to make sure that the art community, the cultural community, is aware of this process way ahead of time, and they need to come out. We need to hear from them. It's more than, oh gosh, at least in my opinion, I'm going to speak in my opinion, I think it's more than just a nice tree or a nice bench. We need to look at a place-making effort within the community. This whole downtown, this 3rd Street, the Curry Street, it's all going to be designed at once. And so if we want input as a cultural commission, as a coalition, as a Brewery Arts Center group, we need to get out and we need to come to these meetings and we need to talk about this place-making. You know, where are these places in the street that we can have people singing, you know, art displays in the downtown? Where can we have places for people to have impromptu little impromptu music sessions? Or even in a larger context, and this is where 3rd Street comes in my opinion, where you can shut down a street and have a large event, a large cultural or art event. I mean, an art on the green, for example. That you could very easily tie the improvements at Third Street into something on the legislative lawn to an arts on the green. You could have vendors, you could have arts flowing across the street. There's a whole variety of things, but we need to get out there and say it's more than just we need to have room on the sidewalk for a cafe. It needs to be more. I'm kind of passionate on this, I can tell. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be boring you necessarily, but we need to get out. We need to make an impact. Just like the Muscle Power Group, they're very proactive in dealing with making sure bicycles are incorporated into the plan, making sure the downtown is pedestrian friendly. We need to be just as passionate being out there saying this is a cultural opportunity to placemake this community.
And I just want to add, wearing my designer hat, it's really important for the cultural flow for everyone in this community to get involved in this process so that it completely embraces the community. So it's vitally important. I know the city will do a good job of getting the word out. I know the paper will do a good job of getting the word out. So we'll just, and everyone needs to tell their friends. It's really important.
One of the things that kind of made it clear to me when I moved here was why is Carson City the way it is, not realizing that the state owned the streets for since inception, and they've only been turning the streets over 5 miles per year or whatever it is to the cities to take care of in the last few years. So, you know, Roop's got rebuilt and Stewart and everything, so now I understand why is this all coming to a head now. It's because we're really, really starting to take ownership of this thing, and it's an exciting moment, I think, for us. So I sure hope it can work out. You know, like you say, let's not just have a spot. Let's put some power into that area so we can have lighting and acoustic and musical instruments light, you know, lit up and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's all great stuff. Anybody else on the board comment?
I have a comment, and that is the revitalization and the redesign of the downtown areas, I see it as more, it's for locals. There's going to be economic development that comes along with that, but it's really more for us residents. It's not so much for the tourists. And so we really need to make this, you know, great for us.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But one of the other things that I know is starting to spin out there related to Joel Dunn and some of his sports tourism is trying to match up his sports tournaments in town with culture events that happen downtown. Mm-hmm. So there's a real dynamic, I think, here, you know, when you talk about things coming together, you know, and the economic development that cultural arts can bring to a community, and you know, Joel has been out there as a promoter of sports tourism forever. The cultural community has not had that, but I think it's just as powerful. When you think about tying in with what Joel does with his baseball tournaments that come in, they're only up there for an hour playing their team, and then they have to wait 6 or 7 hours to get back and play again. Well, what are they going to do in that 6 and 7 hours? You know, if we have some sort of a cultural event happening downtown, or two cultural events, something on the lawn and something in the downtown area, it gives them something to do while they're here and spend more money. You know, so not only is it for the locals, but I think there's a huge opportunity with, and I'm just using Joel as an example with his sports tourism because I know he's had a couple events, but, you know, there are other things here in town that could work very well the same way with other opportunities too, with different events happening, even down at the fairgrounds, for example. You could do the same thing. If you have a huge rodeo happening, you know, downtown, you know, what else are these people going to do in town? Could they do something else? So. And the downtown presents this amazing opportunity, in my opinion, for that venue.
Any public comment? Okay. I'm going to move on to five, and Commissioner Barton is the master of realizing that if he speaks, it makes the meeting go longer. But this is actually, your time, Commissioner Barton, to kick it off here with members' announcements, so please do.
Thank you, Chairman Stansbury. The sesquicentennial is over.
Yes. Oh, that's it? Oh, come on. Tell us about the license plates.
The final events of the sesquicentennial were actually conducted yesterday here in Carson City with the loading of one of two time capsules, not actually the last event because the Las Vegas time capsule won't go in until January or February. But virtually we wrapped up the sesquicentennial year. The final meeting of the sesquicentennial commission was conducted yesterday, and we actually have a commission member with us in the audience, Sherry Rupert. The governor warmly hosted a reception at the mansion last evening, and it was really a melancholic moment. This endeavor for me began in December 2011 when the governor called me one day and said, "We got this sesquicentennial coming. Who do we put on a planning committee?" And I swallowed hard and said, "Wow." And then he followed by saying, "And there'll be no public money used in this entire year-long event." And I thought, well, now my hands are tied and my feet are tied. And he threw me in the lake and said, "Swim." But what came out of it was really magical. There were 505 events statewide. All 17 counties participated. There were 160 signature events that were created specifically for the sesquicentennial. And we leave behind over a dozen legacy projects, including the restoration of Nevada's 230 historical markers along the roadside, and even the project that just completed the restoration of the steam locomotive, the Glenbrook, is one of the legacy projects. Overall, the events raised $2 million, and not $1 of it was public money. License plates, about 12,000 sesquicentennial plates have been sold. It's yielded about $400,000 at this point. And that's an ongoing source of revenue that lasts beyond the sesquicentennial. In fact, the plates, you can still buy them for another 2 years before they sunset. Over 5,000 silver medallions were pressed on coin press number one which yielded nearly $600,000 for the sesquicentennial. Tremendous support from Wells Fargo, Union Pacific, Barrick, Core Rochester, NV Energy, and I have to note that the governor wrote a personal check on the first meeting for $10,000 out of his pocket to support the effort. The foundation, the Sesquicentennial Foundation, which is the fiscal arm of the operation, actually sunsets, but not until June 30th of next year, at which time any remaining revenues get transferred over to the Nevada Cultural Affairs Foundation with a statutory requirement that they use those funds for ongoing support of historic preservation efforts. So it's been a wonderful year. You know, I kind of sit back and go, well, what do I do next year now? But then I quickly remind myself, it's a legislative session coming, so we'll have plenty to deal with. But been a great year, some wonderful events, and we've engaged Nevadans, and that was so critical, is how do we engage people in the rurals? And almost more importantly, how do we engage the people in Clark County in the belief that their history and heritage is important? And when we looked at the graph yesterday at the participation of counties, it was interesting to see that there were virtually the same number of events in Clark County and Washoe County. They were both right up at the top, including a wonderful Nevada Day Parade in Las Vegas this year. So that's it for me.
Thank you, Commissioner Barton. Excellent as usual. Anybody else reports, comments?
I'll do mine on the greenhouse project.
Good.
And talk to you about the successes in 2014. 3,255 students visited the greenhouse, including students from Carson High School, Borderwick Bray, Fremont Elementary, and Carson Montessori Schools. 8 students did senior projects covering topics such as medicinal herbs, greenhouse management, culinary crops, permaculture, managing nonprofits, and botany. 38 special needs students planted seeds, transplanted seedlings, and provided the care in the greenhouse for the petunias for the downtown flower baskets and veggies for donations. 6 AmeriCorps interns learned how to work in a commercial greenhouse, putting in over 2,700 hours. Over 227 local volunteers donated approximately 884 hours to help feed those in need and beautify the community. This year, these extraordinary students, interns, and volunteers raised and donated over 4,000 pounds of healthy, delicious vegetables and mushrooms to Friends in Service Helping, Ron Wood Family Resource Center, Salvation Army, Circles Initiative, and the Carson High School Culinary Program. Our ag student population in 2011 was 7 students. In 2014-15, it's 148. It's huge. And one of the students who did their senior project made a comment that I'd like to share. He said, the greenhouse management, a previously foreign field for me, is now open to me as a field of future career choices and as an area of personal development. My general knowledge of agribusiness and the practices used by Nevada farmers has become larger than I ever anticipated. And I just like to mention that our Flower Basket sponsorship campaign is alive and well, and we have kicked that off. And if you need a form, carsoncitygreenhouse.org, or you can call my cell phone, 232-8626, and I'll be happy to get one to you. And that drive ends the end of February.
And I would like to open up comments to the public for Mr. Barton as well as the greenhouse. So anybody like to comment this time? Okay, any comment from the board members?
Mr. Chairman, I know,
yes, sir.
If you excuse me for just a second, I know I've had some conversations with Terry about her possibly into this particular agenda item, sharing about the Stewart Indian School. I know you've mentioned that a little bit off and on through the meeting. I didn't know if you wanted to take this specific time to spend a little more detail, maybe, and actually get Sherry up to the mic, you know, under this. So,
yes, so I was hoping just to ask Ms. Sherry Rupert from the Nevada Indian Commission to be a guest speaker at our next meeting to explain all everything that's happening out at Stewart. And I think that she'll have some economic data from the Father's Day powwow that's just getting larger and larger every year. And so I know that she worked with the Economic Development Agency to get some data on that. And so she can give us a real life example of cultural tourism. And so that was it. I would just like to propose that she be a guest at our next meeting.
In March. It'll be the Sherry and Terry thing.
It'll be the Sherry and Terry show.
Okay.
And if there's anything she'd like to add to the cultural master plan that we're going to embark on, or anything about Stewart right now, we'll give you a minute.
Is this on, or do I need to speak loudly? Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Sherry Rupert, and I'm the Executive Director of the State of Nevada's Indian Commission. I'm the liaison for Governor Sandoval to our 27 tribal nations in the state. I am very fortunate to have my office out at the former Stewart Indian Boarding School. Sorry, I've been talking all day today. It's very near and dear to my heart, as many of my ancestors went to the Stewart Indian School. And I know that it's just a very special place. I think most of you all have been out to the Stewart Indian School. And I have spent the last 10 years working on preserving that school and its legacy, collecting oral histories, and really looking for funding that could help us to establish a cultural center for public use, and also to create a cultural heritage destination here for Carson City. So I'd love the opportunity to come back and be able to share with you in more detail what we're planning or what our vision is for this school. And I just think, you know, Terry mentioned the economic impact of the Stewart Father's Day powwow. That's one event that that we have here in Carson City. And I think that this cultural center for the Stewart Indian School and the plans for the destination, I think will only enhance what Carson City has to offer our locals here, as well as the tourists coming in. And I'm very confident that it will be a larger draw even to an international crowd. I actually am the president of the American Indian Alaska Native Tourism Association. It's a national nonprofit where we help all 566 federally recognized tribes across the nation, Alaska Natives and Native Hawaiians, to develop tourism. And so through that work, I've sit in on very high level meetings in regard to cultural tourism, international statistics. I sit on the U.S. Department of Commerce Travel and Tourism Advisory Board, so I hear these stats all the time. And these international travelers, especially from Germany, Europe, even China, are very interested in the American Indian culture. And so I'd like to share those numbers with you as well, and just show you the opportunity that we have out at the Stewart Indian School. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rupert. That was very good. We welcome you next March to our meeting. Thank you.
Sherry, could I get your phone number real quick so I can coordinate that March meeting with you?
I'll give you my card.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
When is March meeting? Didn't get it. March 19th. March, I'm not sure what the date.
That should be in the back of your
right.
Is it?
Should be here.
March 17th. We all wear green?
That's it. It will be St. Patrick's Day. That's right. Any other comments for the good of the order here? Any more public comments? I need to read this number 7, and I think we can go from there. Is that correct, Mr. Cronin?
We need to talk about future agenda items.
Okay.
I know we have Ms. Rupert on there.
Yes.
But is there anything else? I've got the list. If you can go back to the last page.
How about
page.
The results of the downtown award for construction and the planning?
Okay, we can do that. That's a great one.
Will we know whether or not the jackpot
March 17th. Or you can just talk about our grant process. Would that be okay?
We could do an update.
We could do an update on the grant.
Okay. Don't put her on the spot.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of people in this room who have jackpot grants in process right now.
Yes.
So I wasn't sure which one. Right.
So the February, I'm not sure what
deadline that you gave us.
I'll ask for my grant program manager what within the set.
Yeah.
We have one more public comment here.
So just to recoup on that, we're going to get Ms. Rupert back. We're going to do an out downtown on the update where we are in that public process.
Right.
and then, of course, we'll talk about the jackpot grant and probably some sort of an update on
where the circuit rider grant or whatever.
And
yes, okay.
The circuit rider grant. And
then Ms. Ross?
Okay.
So, and cultural planning, not just the grants, but the cultural planning overview.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to keep this going.
Thank you. Do I read number 8 and number 7 now? Members of the public who wish to address the Carson City Culture Commission may come forward and speak on any other matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item and allowable under the open meeting law. Comments may be limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion or action, please request the chairperson to schedule the matter for a future meeting, which I think we did earlier. So any other comments for this evening? If not, I'm going to call the meeting adjourned. 7:31. And thank you all for attending tonight. It was fun to have people in the audience and have lots of commissioners here.
And Merry Christmas.